Our Old Testament reading for this morning will come from the book of 1 Kings. We'll be reading from chapter 19 of 1 Kings, verses 11 through 13. And it is found on page 322 of your Bibles. This is the story of Elijah as he flees from Queen Jezebel, flees to Mount Sinai / Mount Horeb to listen to a word from the Lord. And so let us listen to God's word for us. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face to his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Our New Testament reading will come from the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 25, and reading through chapter 5, verse 2. And it is found on page 1068 of your Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I saw a video on the internet this week, which I thought was very cute. The video was of a little girl who's about, couldn't have been no more than 2 years old, and she was sitting in the back seat of a car, securely strapped into a child's seat, of course. And the radio was on, and the little girl had her hand up in the air, and Her eyes were closed, and she was rocking her head back and forth to the music and snapping her fingers. And it was cute because you could tell that she was obviously mimicking behavior that she had probably seen from her parents, most likely her mother. Every time that particular song came on, she had probably saw her mother or her parents engage in that very kind of activity, and so she was mimicking the behavior of her mother. We human beings, of course, are creatures of imitation. We are constantly imitating those whom we admire and look up to. And, of course, the first people that we imitate are our parents. We were talking a little bit about that this morning in our Sunday school, and somebody noted that their mother was the person who they imitated in the church as they learned about what it meant to live the life of Christ. Our parents, of course, are the ones who love us. They're the ones who are closest to us, the ones that we usually have an opportunity to observe up close. And those of you who are parents know that you have to be careful about what you do in front of your children, because children are very observant and they imitate what they see their parents do. So, but we are imitators. We imitate those around us and those who are closest to us. When we get older, of course, we imitate others, we imitate teachers, we imitate our boss, we imitate each other. If our neighbor goes out and gets a new car, then we have to go out and get one too, because we got to keep up with the Joneses, got to imitate each other. So we imitate one another. Imitation, of course, is one of those words that we don't necessarily like. We don't like imitations. I was watching something on looking at something in a fashion magazine not long ago, and it was a leather jacket, and it said that it was imitation leather. Looked pretty good. I thought that I might be interested in it, but then it said it was imitation leather, and suddenly I didn't want it anymore because I want the real thing. But we don't like things that are imitation. We want the real thing. But we all imitate, no matter how much we might like to talk about our individualism, no matter how much we might like to talk about being original. The fact of the matter is, we are imitators. Imitation is one of the ways that we orient ourselves in the world in order to cultivate a sense of belonging and connection. I remember way back when I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, we had a division commander who came in. His name was General Livesey. He was kind of a short man, but a very, very tough and impressive man. He used to carry a little stick about that big. Always carried that stick with him, and he always used to smoke a cigar. A cigar was about as big as he was, but he always had this cigar in his mouth. And I remember when he first came, it wasn't long before everyone, from the lowest, lowliest private to the, you know, most decorated field grade officer, was walking around smoking cigars, and some people even, you know, carrying a little stick in imitation of General Livesey. He was the commanding general, and he set the standard, and everyone wanted to be like him, and so people imitated him. And we human beings, of course, that's what we are. We imitate. We imitate those who we admire. In our passage this morning from the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul enjoins us to be imitators of God, which I think is remarkable. It's one thing, of course, to imitate our parents, to imitate our bosses, to imitate our teachers, to imitate some celebrity icon. But how in the world can we weak and frail human beings be able to imitate God? Well, Paul says we can do it because we are children of God. We are gathered here this morning, all of us, because we are people who've been transformed by the love of God. We are gathered here this morning because God loves us and claims us and has adopted us as God's own children. That's what we learned from the very beginning of the book of Ephesians when Paul tells us that God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters. And because we have been transformed and recreated as God's own children, we have the power to imitate him, to imitate God. Which was, of course, our original human vocation. As men and women made in the image of God, we were created to imitate God, created to bear God's glory into the world. That's what we were created for as human beings. We were created not so much for our own sake, but we were created to imitate God. But part of the problem, of course, is that many people have an inadequate understanding of God. Not a completely wrong one, but an inadequate one. Usually, when we think about God, we tend to think of power. We tend to think of God who is way up there, far away, distant, remote, a God who is kind of an unmoved mover, a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, a God who is up there watching and waiting constantly for us maybe to do something wrong so that God can get us. A God that might be a little angry with us because of our waywardness, but God, when we think of God, we think of the God who is up there and who is powerful and who is all-knowing and all-seeing. And unfortunately, that's the image of God that many people try to imitate. We could just be more like God. We could just have more power. We could just be in control and be independent and not need anyone. If we could just be able to be in a position where we could do anything that we wanted to do, if we could just be more like God. And so many people spend most of their lives trying to obtain God-like power so that they could be like God. Many people spend most of their lives in pursuit of the things that they think can make them more like God. They spend a great deal of their life in pursuit of positions and status. If I could just be up there, have my name in big bold print, have the lights spotlighted on me, if I could just gain the office at the top floor, the top suite where I can look down on everyone else, then I could be like God. If I could just make enough money so that I could do and have whatever I want, then I could be like God. But that's our understanding of God. Unfortunately, trying to imitate that understanding of God will not make us more godlike. It will only make us more demonic. It will not make us more human. It will make us more inhumane. When Paul says to be imitators of God, he's not talking about us going out and trying to gain power and control and dominance over other people. But when Paul says to be imitators of God, he had something else in mind. To be an imitator of God is to be kind to one another. It's to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ, as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know, kindness is one of those things that seems to be in short supply today. No one's kind to anyone anymore. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, you know, but it seems like I remember a time when we were a little bit kinder to one another. But now we don't have time to be kind anymore. We don't have time to engage in those random acts of kindness. I was reading something the other day about a doctor who had made a diagnosis, had given a diagnosis to one of her patients. He had pancreatic cancer. And she was just terribly upset that she had to give that diagnosis to the man. Richard was his name. But shortly after making that diagnosis, she went outside and she saw Richard underneath a car doing some work for a woman whose car had stalled, and she didn't know what was wrong. And there this man was, whom she had made a diagnosis to pancreatic cancer, and he's there under the car trying to fix this woman's car. And she said, "Richard, is that you?" And he comes up from under the car and says, "Yes, that's me. Just because I've got a bad diagnosis doesn't mean that I have to stop being kind." Whenever we are kind, we are imitating God. We are bearing witness to the nature of God. And the same thing with forgiveness and with acts of mercy. Whenever we are merciful to people and whenever we are willing to forgive those who have hurt us, then we are imitating the God who has been kind and forgiving and merciful to each and every one of us. Kindness and mercy and forgiveness is the way that we are called to respond to the world around us. Too often we are so caught up in ourselves and in our own lives and what's going on with us. But to be kind and to be merciful and to be forgiving is a way of being concerned not with ourselves, but taking a moment to be concerned with others, to find out what's going on with others. Today we are so much about ourselves, our rights, and exercising our rights that we don't have time to be kind to one another or to be merciful with one another or to be forgiving to one another. But if we want to imitate God, if we want to be like God, then that's the way we are told to be like God. All of this, of course, is rooted and grounded in love. And that's what the Bible wants us to understand about God. It wants us to understand that God is love. And so when we talk about the power of God, that's what we need to keep in mind. When we talk about the power of God, we're talking about the sovereign power of God's love. The sovereign power of God's love that nothing can close down. The love of God, the power of God's love is the most powerful thing in the world. And that's what the Bible wants us to understand. The power of that love. When I was a teenager, I learned a new Greek word. This was in the 70s, and if you were my age or older, you probably learned that same Greek word. It was agape. You know, all of a sudden, everyone was going around talking about agape, agape love, God's agape love. And we all know what agape love is. Agape love is unconditional love. And that's the kind of love that is mentioned here in our text this morning, agape love, that unconditional love. You know, all the other kinds of loves that we love is conditioned upon something, whether we're talking about romantic love, whether we're talking about friendship or brotherly love, it's all conditioned on something. It's all conditioned on the object of our love being beautiful or excellent in some way, something that attracts us to that person or connects us to that person. But agape love, the kind of love that God loves, is an unconditional kind of love. It's a love that is not contingent upon some excellence or some beauty. It's a love that loves just for the sake of loving someone. And that's the kind of love that God has shown each and every one of us. God loves us not because we're beautiful, or at least not because I'm beautiful, some of you may be. God loves us not because we're excellent in some way. God loves us not just because we're legal or because we have the right papers or because we live in the right section of the city or because we have the right income or because we have the right education or because we have the right color skin. God doesn't love us for any of that. God loves us simply because we are people who needed to be loved. We are people who needed to be rescued. We are people who needed to be saved. We are people who needed God's grace. We needed the grace of God, and God loves us and still loves us. And Paul says, be imitators of that. Be imitators of that kind of love. Be imitators of that kind of graciousness. Be imitators of the love of God, that unconditional agape love that God has shown each and every one of us. I think perhaps the best way to imitate God is to see God in action in the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. Several years ago, there was a saying that was very popular, what would Jesus do? And people were wearing bracelets, you know, what would Jesus do? And I suspect most people probably don't know what Jesus would do. If they did, there wouldn't be so much anger and malice and terrible talk in our world. But we're told that if we want to imitate God, then we have to look to the life of Jesus. It said that St. Francis used to begin every day by reading one of the Gospels. He'd read one of the Gospels, and then he would actually go out and he would try to live it out. So if he read the part in the Gospels where Jesus said, if someone asks you for your coat, give him your shirt too, he would actually go out and try to do that. In his case, he didn't try to do that. He did do that. Or if he read the part where Jesus said, turn the other cheek, he would actually go out and do that. And I don't know if I would have the faithfulness or the fortitude to be able to live exactly in the way that Jesus lived. But what I do know is that we're going to imitate somebody. We're going to imitate something because that's the way we human beings were made. We were created to imitate. We were created to imitate God. We were created to reflect the glory of God. We've given that up, of course, to imitate others, but we were created to imitate God, but we're going to imitate something. We're going to imitate someone, and if we don't imitate God, we'll fill it up and imitate someone else. We'll imitate riches. We'll imitate arrogance. We'll imitate greed. We'll imitate hatred. We'll imitate all the things that we see out there in our world that the world tries to get us to do and to follow. We'll imitate that. But we're called to be imitators of God, because it's only by imitating God that we find our true selves. It's only by imitating God that we find out what life is all about. It's only by imitating God that we're able to live into our true vocations. And so Paul says, be an imitator of God. Reflect God's love and glory and forgiveness and kindness into the world. in a world that has such a skewed understanding of who God is, we are the people who are called to show them the very heart and mind of God, because we are the people who have God's Spirit, and we are the people who've been claimed and loved as God's own children. And so just as we see and imitate our own parents, our earthly parents, we are called to imitate the God whose love for the world has been so great that he is willing to give himself, that he is willing to give his own son so that we might have life and have that life in abundance. That's the very heart and nature of God. God's power is not just the power to know everything. God's power is not just the power to see everything. God's power is not just the power to destroy the world, or the power to bring judgment. But God's power is the power of God's sovereign love. It is the power that God displayed on the cross for each and every one of us. The power is self-giving love. And we're reminded that there's absolutely nothing that can shut that power down. Nothing we can do, nothing we can say, none of the forces that we can garner. There's absolutely nothing that can stop the power of God's love. It is the most powerful force in the universe. And we are called to be imitators of that power for the glory of God. Let us pray. God, you have shown us your heart. You have shown us your power. You have shown us who you are. And you have asked us to imitate you. You know, Lord, that we fail to do that in ways that bear witness to who you are. We're so willing and ready to imitate everything else because we think that that's what might make us more godlike. Give us the courage and the commitment to follow you and to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by imitating your great love for each and every one of us. Help us to be kind. Help us to be tender-hearted. Help us to be merciful and forgiving. Help us to be just like you in everything that we do, so that we might be a blessing to this world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.